This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Chris Tang joining us now. He is from UCLA, actually a distinguished professor there, and many, many accolades. We'll have all the links to what Chris has done up on our website a little later tonight. Chris, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it very much. I'm a car guy myself. I know we're going to talk a little bit about the auto industry and some of the supply chain issues, and I've watched that industry really struggle, not just through COVID, but even after. They really have not, in my opinion, gotten back on their feet yet. I noticed, read an article yesterday where there are F-150s parked down in a racetrack in the South. I think there's about 40,000 of them parked at a racetrack. There's billions of dollars of inventory parked around the United States that they're not able to deliver to dealers yet because they just can't get them finished.
Correct. Because it's chip shortages.
Yep. Do you see an end in sight for that?
Well, I think that's, let's talk about the good news. I think that now many people need to go back to work. So they need a car. Because after COVID, they work from home, and now they for them to think about buying a new car.
True.
Now, but most cars are not available. But Tesla is available. So Tesla is actually selling very well. Because the electric vehicles, and also they have a better control of the supply chain. So actually, the sales are going up for them.
Interesting. That does not surprise me, given the leadership that they have and knowing how he's outsourced things over the years. I know that when it comes to some of the other production that's in the auto industry, there are some companies that are doing very well with the particular, lines in their product field, I guess I should say, Chris. But overall, I think they still have a long ways to go. And the fact of the matter is, you and I both know, as much as, Tesla is an alternative, they cannot supply all of the vehicles needed right now that are from the pent-up demand through COVID. So, again, question being, when are the automakers going to be able to catch up?
Well, that would take some time. Right now, if you're not willing to wait, you can buy a car, but it's not complete.
Right.
So that means that some of the features are not available. For example, the USB port, if you want a heated seat, it may not be available. But they can install it for you later. So now they're trying to say, they try to push it out to consumers. If you're willing to buy it now, and then they can complete the car installation later, you can get a car. But if you want a fully completed car, there are very few available.
Yeah, you're right. And the question that I have, and you may know more about this than I, I know at some point customers are just going to have to do that. They won't have any choice, and they'll just be forced into buying a car that's not completed and finish it later. But that's the first time that I've been in the auto industry a long, long time, Chris. I cannot think of a time ever in automotive history where you had to buy an incompleted car.
That is true, but the car design is getting very complex and also relies on a lot of electronics. So I think right now, a lot of the car manufacturers are trying to figure out ways to redesign the car such that it will be less dependent on different types of chips. So they are actually partnering with Intel, which is reshoring some of the production back in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully by 2024, around 2 years, and I think that's things will get back on track.
I don't think, Chris, I've kind of predicted, it's funny you said 2024. I've been predicting now for quite some time that I didn't think they'd really have production all the way up to where they needed to be until that same time frame. And I don't have all the same data in front of me that you do, of course, but I know the auto industry. I know how long it takes them to recover from things. And I have felt like all along it's going to be at least 2024 till they're halfway. And I'm not sure that's not totally caught up. It's just to a point where there's some breathing room.
That's correct. So that means that 2024, Intel's plants in Ohio and Arizona will be up and running. At the same time, I think the car manufacturers said they are working with Intel to redesign the chips such that they don't need to do they do not need so many different types of chips.
Okay.
They can actually use the same type of chips for multiple functions. So
okay.
They're also reprogramming the chips such that they will not be depending on too many chips. Because if you one chip is out of stock, the car is incomplete.
Correct.
So in the future, they will try to consolidate different types of chips into just a fewer number of chips. So in that case, it will be safer.
Which, I've been in that industry my entire life. I've worked on cars, I've owned auto shops and so on. And Chris, I never understood. I mean, I kind of do because I know the industry. I know the robustness of what they need and the testing required and what they have to go through for the governmental standards and the safety checks and so on. So I get the redundancy that they've gone after and why they've done the multiple chips. But I never could understand why they didn't consolidate like you say they're doing now, which, by the way, I look at that and I think even technicians out there would say, finally, great. That actually helps even fix the car down the road, because instead of having to look 20 different places, you could maybe look for five.
This is a great question. The problem is that long time ago, when GM is completely vertically integrated, they understood every single part of the car.
Right.
But because of outsourcing, they're no longer producing every single modules.
Right.
Some of the modules are outsourced to a supplier. And supplier redesign, so because there's no coordination along the supply chain, so you don't know what the suppliers are doing, then lo and behold, when the COVID hits, then you realize, oh my God, we have so many different types of chips for different functions. So now there's a shortage, we have a problem. So now I think it is a wake-up call.
Yep.
So now they are trying to take some of the control back.
Yep, you're
so
correct.
I think that it takes time because the company, the outsource, that's why they create this problem.
You're right. I mean, I've said this for years, and a lot of people laugh at me, and you probably remember back to the days where AMC was actually a car company and they built cars. And frankly, AMC and the leader of it, really very innovative. That particular individual had the concept of what we do today with building cars, where essentially he was buying most of the componentry from other car makers and just assembling the car on the assembly line, not making the car, but really just assembling it. That's essentially what's happening today. Car makers are assemblers. They're not manufacturers. They manufacture the body and the engine. And really, Chris, that's about it anymore. Outside of that, they don't make a single thing on that car. The rest of it's outsourced.
You're absolutely right. So that is a problem, because right now I think that we outsource too many modules. So I think that the car manufacturing is completely dependent on other countries.
Yep.
Therefore, if there's any tension with China, with other countries, we could be in trouble. So
you're
that's
right.
Why now I think Biden administration is trying to provide incentives for more car manufacturers to bring back some of the manufacturing operations back to the United States.
You and I think very much alike. There's not very many people, I'll be honest, Chris, that I interview that think like I do when it comes to the automotive world, because there's a lot of folks out there that I think they understand the automotive world, but at the end of the day, they really don't understand the things you and I are talking about and what's changed in literally the past probably 30 years, Chris. I really started watching this back in the, well, let's face it, late 80s, early 90s is what started to happen to your point about the outsourcing and where things started to go. Mm-hmm. And I explained it this way to a lot of my listeners. The reality today is the cars are so similar. It really comes down to what fits you the best. What do you like driving the best? What do you enjoy most about the features and the comfort and so on? Because at the end of the day, Chris, the majority of the parts are all coming from the same vendors.
Absolutely. Well, John, I use the word for IBM. So computer industry is the same. Right now, the computers, your PCs, and all this, there's no differentiation.
That's true.
It's all outsourced.
That's true.
So I think that the car manufacturing is the same problem. Now, if you go back in time, the main reason why the United States really got into this outsourcing idea is because in the 80s, would be like GM and Ford, they figured out they cannot compete with the Japanese car manufacturers.
That's right.
And so, maybe we'll compete on cars. So in the case, that's how they start outsourcing.
You are correct. That is exactly what happened. And I watched it. I was in that industry. I was a young man at the time, but watched that in the industry happen exactly that way. And you are spot on. And I think, by the way, I think what you just said about Tesla is very true. And what Tesla is doing, and hear me out here, what I think Tesla is doing is very much what Apple computers have done with their product line. They control what goes into their phones and into their devices and into their laptops and so on, more so than they still outsource some, don't get me wrong, and so does Tesla. But for the majority of that, they keep really tight control over where those products are coming from. You know, in Apple, to the point where they're now, as you know, several years ago started making their own chips and have been the least affected by all of this out of all the major manufacturers of computers as well. I see Tesla really, all they did was steal the idea that Apple already had started and invented.
You're absolutely right. I think that Tesla is actually a different concept because they want to use software to upgrade your car.
Right.
So in the case to reconfigure your car, they need to use the software. You not do that, they need to understand how every single part are interrelated to each other. Otherwise, there's no way for them to use remote control to actually upgrade your car.
Right.
Yeah. So
right.
Therefore, by definition, they need to have a tight control of the supply chain.
That's right.
We need to understand how the different parts are interrelated now. But for EV, it's much easier because the car is much simpler.
Agree. Here's a question for you on the Tesla event. By the way, thank you for all your time. This has been great. I've enjoyed this conversation immensely, and I hope our listeners have as well. Question I have for you on Tesla, and I'm not a Tesla fanboy, but I'm not a hater either. I understand the car. I understand what it does. I understand how they manufacture it and so on. The one thing that I see that they're struggling with right now, and this is where I want you to chime in. I think they're struggling to keep up with the ever-changing demand of the different looks and feels of new models that all the other manufacturers have pretty much got down pat. Now, some manufacturers will run a model for a very, very long time, but typically, Chris, you and I both know 4 or 5 years is typically where they'll run the average lifespan of a particular model without doing some refreshing. Tesla has not done that. You buy a Tesla today, it's the same as it was 5 years ago. There's no difference.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Because right now they believe that the differentiation, the customization is through software, not by the external
right.
look.
Do you think, though, that the American, especially here in America, do you think the drivers will accept that? What I mean is, do you think a driver will accept a car that looks the same today, a brand new car, that looks just like his neighbor's that's 6 or 7 years old?
Well, I think Americans like it a different look. But I think that they try to pivot to say, well, don't look at the external beauty. It's the internal beauty, John.
Hmm.
They said we can upgrade the internal beauty. So then they also can pivot. They say, oh, that is also environmental friendly. And you don't want a different, too many variety because it will also get the cost up.
True.
So I think that depending how they do that. And also right now, the pent-up demand for Tesla is very high because Biden is putting in a lot of tax credits to entice
True.
People to buy EVs.
True.
So if you want to buy EVs now, they are the name, the game in town.
Very true. Chris, again, you went longer than what I had told you guys I would. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for your insight. And this has been great. I'll have you back anytime. Just let me know and we'll have you back on.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Appreciate it very much. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.